It's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director, Hope Resource Center. So glad that you are listening. You're listening at Joy 620. You can listen online now at WRJZ.com. You can listen to the podcast. We'll have that up at some point tomorrow. You can learn more about Hope Resource Center at investinghope.com. That's where our blog is, our podcast is, and you can meet our staff there, all kinds of stuff there as well. So today, every week, what we try to do here is have a theme for the hour. And so today, that theme, we're going to discuss, do we care more about winning a debate or a conversation or a discussion, or do we care about the people that we are discussing, that we are serving, that we are loving? That's going to be the question that we answer today. And then next week, what we're going to do is next week we're having a guest on the show, Joe Baker, who is the president and CEO of Save the Storks, is going to join me on the show. And he's a fellow redhead. And we're going to discuss the work that's being done around the country through Save the Storks with the mobile units that they're able to connect and partner with pregnancy centers all across the country to get mobile units out there. And just what we're going to do next week is talk about the pro-life movement as a whole, how we're seeing more and more young people. Joe is very close to my age, a young family guy with a child and about to have another kid. And so we're very similar in that aspect. And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the kind of the future of the pro-life movement, what we're seeing across the country, what we're seeing in legislation and different things like that. So it should be a good show next week as well. But right now, again, what we're going to do today is talk about the discussions that we're having with people, the discussions that are happening on the news, in debates. We have, I don't know if you're aware of this, we have an election coming up. So next week, I will be broadcasting and talking, and the election will be coming to a close, which for many of us, regardless of what side of the fence you're on, I think we can all say it is time for this election to be over. So we're going to be, that happens next week. So with all of that going on, and as we watch the debates, and if you're on social media, you see on Facebook and on Twitter and all sorts of things, you see people going back and forth at each other, right? So you see people going back and forth at each other about different issues and things like that. And so what I want to do is help us to refocus. So again, is the goal to win a narrative? Is the goal to win a discussion, a debate, or is the goal to serve and help? I had a meeting today with a couple students from UT, and the reason that we met was because they were having a debate coming up in one of their classes, and they wanted to pick my brain about the debate topic. And the debate topic is they're in social work, and so they're discussing in their debate, they're going to talk about if you're in that world, or really if you're in any field. So if you're at Hope Resource Center or any field, should the government, should there be laws that says you have to perform certain services? So last week we talked about the issue in California with a law saying that pro-life clinics will have to refer out for abortion. Pro-life clinics will have to post information in their clinics about abortion clinics and kind of making us hold hands with the abortion clinics, and which goes directly against our religious convictions. And so the conversation I had today with the students was discussing that issue. So should the government, should there be laws that says that makes us go against our religious convictions? And of course, I am opposed to that. And so we had this discussion, but what I wanted them to understand, what I wanted these students to understand is, look, you may have this debate in class and you want to do well and you want to win that debate. The whole point of having a debate is winning. But when we're having discussions with our neighbors, with family members, with coworkers, with people on social media, when we're having these discussions, what is our ultimate goal? Is our ultimate goal to win, or is our ultimate goal to celebrate life or to see a heart change within somebody? Not just to convince them, but to see a heart change. And so that's what I want to talk about today, because I'm coming from a place again where I, for many years of my life, the focus was definitely about winning a debate. I had a meeting this morning with someone, And I joked, but I said, you know, I don't. The only person that I'm connected with from college is my wife. We met first semester of college. I don't really have any other relationships from college. And the reason is because I went in fully expecting to just win debates. I was a political science major. I thought I was right on everything, and I'll just be honest, I was. But on the issues, my thought wasn't, hey, let's go make friends. Hey, let's go see these folks as image bearers and people that I need to understand their point of view or anything like that. My goal was to go into those classes, and as a person that had a lot of opinions, was to go into those classes and to confront what I thought was wrong policies and wrong political views, and to go after them, right? And so in doing that, I created this idea of, look, I don't really care about your soul. I don't really care about where you are. I just want you to know that I'm gonna show you that you're wrong, and I'm just going to convince you to come onto my side. And guess what? I didn't convince any of them. You know why I didn't convince them? Even though I might have won the debate, I didn't convince them because I went in with one goal in mind, was to win the debate. The goal wasn't, hey, let's talk about their point of view. Let's see where they're coming from. Let's discuss these issues that are driving our society. Let's discuss these issues that are creating wedges within family members and with friends and those type of things. No, my goal was simply to win. And some people would celebrate that, and we would just have to disagree. But I spent years doing that. I did that in college, and then on further. I mean, every conversation I would have with people, I like to discuss deep issues, and I think that's important. But a lot of times, I would bring those issues up, if I'm honest, to try to highlight how much I knew, and how wrong someone else was. And when you do that, you're not reaching someone at a heart level. You sound condescending. You sound hateful at times. And so what I want to do today is discuss why our focus as pro-lifers, we cannot let the focus be simply on winning a debate. Do I want pro-life issues to move forward and be the primary issue for people? Absolutely. Do I want people to see that life is valuable and deserves our respect? Absolutely. Do I want abortion clinics to treat people better and to ultimately close? Absolutely. But folks, just winning a debate will not do that. Just winning a debate will not do that. We have to see people as image bearers. We have to see people as valuable, even those that disagree with us. And that's where we're going to come back after this break. We're going to start there and discuss that. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood with Hope Resource Center. Again, we thank you for listening. You want to learn more about Hope Resource Center, you can at investinghope.com. Our patient page is knoxvillehope.com. You can follow us on Facebook. Just search Investing Hope. One thing I do want to point out on our Facebook page right now, a couple weeks ago, we had a worship night at Shoreline Church. It was an amazing night of worship and prayer. And if you were not able to attend, you can go to our Facebook page and you can watch the entire event. So we recorded it all. You can hear the prayers, you can hear the worship and see it and everything. I would certainly recommend that to you. We again thank Shoreline Church for the work that they do and for their partnership. So today what we're focusing on is what we're doing more than winning? Or are you a pro-lifer because simply you want to win? You want to win a discussion. And I say all of this, again, from a standpoint of someone that for a long time, that was my sole focus, was to convince people, was to win. When I worked in politics and worked in campaigns, that's what I would do. We go door to door, and my goal was simply not to change somebody's heart, not to do anything like that. My goal was to convince them that the person I was working for needed to win the election. Now, elections, that's you win or lose. I mean, that's why we have presidential debates. That's why we have elections. That's why we go to the polls, is because we're voting for someone. So they will win or they will lose. But we as people, we as people are not running, right? And so if we want to see the life issue move forward, if we want to see the life issue celebrated, if we want to see life valued, then when we have these conversations and discussions, we can't see them as simply moments where we can win or we can lose. They need to be conversations, simply conversations. And so last week I wrote some thoughts down. Again, I do that from time to time. And so I want to share those with you. So in recent weeks, a great deal of time has been given to the topic of abortion, mainly partial birth abortion. We have seen the statistics, the political points, the fodder, and the hateful rhetoric. Many were waiting for this moment in time. They were waiting and anxious to take their political hills and argue their quote-unquote well-thought-out points. We heard why abortion is right and why abortion is wrong. We have seen clearly where people stand. And so if you'll remember the last debate, Chris Wallace asked the question about partial birth abortion. Well, he actually asked the question about abortion, and then it got off on to partial birth abortion. Trump said what he said. Hillary said what she said. And then it was off to the races, right? So if you were on social media, Twitter went nuts with pro-lifers saying one thing, pro-choicers in the abortion lobby saying another thing, and it just was back and forth. And so the focus became, who's going to win this discussion? Unfortunately, what tends to get lost in these disputes are the men, women, boys, and girls that are directly affected by these issues. It is easy for us to run to our political or personal corners and prepare for battle. In this preparation, we look for antidotes that may help us, quote-unquote, win the argument of the day. In doing this, we are turning image bearers into simple props, props that we can use and manipulate for our gain. Now, hear that again. When we hear those things and we run to social media and we seek to win, what sometimes we do, not all the time, but sometimes what we do is we start to turn image bearers into props. And so instead of seeing people as God created human beings, we see them as something that we can use to push an agenda. And you see this from all different sides. And when we do this, we're no better than those that we call out. Now don't hear this and assume that I'm saying we should stay away from hope stories or stories that highlight life and the celebration of it. I, of course, think these stories are very important. Their importance, though, is not based on a gain or winning an argument. Instead, their importance is based on the truth of life. We share these stories because they point us to something greater than ourselves. They point us to the life creator. So that is why we share the stories of our patients. Again, it isn't about winning the argument. It is about the celebration of life. And life points us to a creator. So we celebrate that. When my wife got pregnant with Gavin and then with Summer and then with Evelyn, when my wife got pregnant, what that did was we celebrated the fact that we were able to make a baby. But we didn't stop there. That makes us then look up toward the creator of that life. Because without him, we could not make a baby. So C.S. Lewis gives the example of when you hear a bird chirping, you celebrate the maker of that noise. You don't just celebrate the noise for noise sake. You go, wow, that bird is making amazing music. And in the same way, when we see life, when we see an ultrasound, when we see the amazing, complicated baby that God has created, what does that do? Why do we cry? Why, when we're in the delivery room, do we cry when they hand us the baby? Part of that is because some of the pain that the woman just went through, but another reason is because we're moved. We're moved to tears. Why? Because it points us to something greater than ourselves. So we see that image. We see that baby as a image bearer of God. So it points us to a creator. This truth must never be lost in our discourse and debate. We all lose when we see people as props and not God-created human beings. This is hard for parties on both sides of the issue. We live in such a polarizing time that the value of winning far outweighs the value of life. Now hear that again. We live in such a polarizing time that the value of winning far outweighs the value of life. So the reason I put these thoughts down is because this is a convicting thing for me. This election has opened my eyes to a lot of things. It's been very convicting. Where am I putting my priorities? Where am I putting my hope? Where am I putting my focus? Things of man or things of God? Does my desire to win outweigh the desire and the value of life? We should ask ourselves that. This criticism can be pointed at all involved. I wrestle with this in my own life every single day. There are times where my desire to debate is not rooted in promoting a life-celebrating agenda, but instead, oftentimes, I find my desire rooted in beating our opponents. This is a very dangerous place to find myself. Even on this show, I've had those times. Go back and listen to the podcast. I'm sure there's some shows. When our roots are planted in simply winning or losing on a particular topic, we fail to recognize that every life, even those adamantly disagree with us, has value and was made with a purpose. My pro-life stance isn't just directed at those that follow my side of the life issue. It must also be directed toward those that seek to silence the pro-life narrative in our clinics. This may seem counterproductive, but if we fail to value the lives of those that disagree with us, then we fail to value life altogether. Note that. If we fail to value the lives of those that disagree with us, then we fail to value life altogether. We don't check the party affiliation or the stance of our patients at Hope on Life. We don't ask them who they are voting for or their thoughts on a polarizing issue of the day. Instead, we see them as they are, an image bearer, deserving of our love. This mindset allows us to prevent the cloudiness of judgment to creep into our mission of serving and providing for the most vulnerable. Now, I do not say this today to encourage disengagement from our societal, cultural, or political issues of the day. I write this to motivate us, myself included, to engage differently with our neighbor. We must have conversations on life and abortion. We never neglect our role in society. However, our role cannot be to simply win a debate or discussion. Our words and actions will look far different when we start seeing individuals as God creations and not props that can be used to bring us a superficial victory. I pray this would be our truth as we press forward in these very uncertain times. Folks, that is what we have to do. We don't, if you've listened to this show for the last, you know, year and a half, you know the last thing I want us to do is disengage. I've been screaming engage in our society, in our culture, since the first time I came on air here. We must engage, but what is our engagement rooted in? What is it rooted in? Let's start there when we come back. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening. And so we left off before the break. We were talking about where is our motivation to engage with our culture, with our society, with our neighbors? Where is that rooted? So is it rooted in just the desire to win? Is it rooted in politics? Is it rooted in What is it rooted in? And so if you are listening to this show, maybe or maybe not, you know, more than likely you have a biblical worldview. You know, Hope Resource Center, that is what we're there for. That is our foundation. You know, the meeting that I had with the two students from UT today, that that's what I told them. I was like, you know, we are a nonprofit, but our value system, our principles are based in the Bible. It is we love the gospel. We're a pro-life clinic that loves Jesus. That is what we're there for. And it is that truth that motivates us to then serve. Right? So it not only motivates us to serve and open our doors at Hope, but it also should be the driver of our engagement. So if we have an opportunity to speak truth about life, then how are we handling that? Again, is the motivation to win an argument? And I'll just be honest, there's a time and place for that. If you're running for office and there's an election, I guess the ultimate goal of the election is to win that election. But there's probably some desire to see a heart change within the people. And I've said this many times, if we look at history, and if you study history and you look at the major issues that we have seen, it didn't start in Washington. It didn't start at a state capitol. Where did it start? It started with the people. Even on issues that we as Christians, we disagree with. Even in those issues, it first started with the people. And so there was a transformation that happened in culture, in society, that then led to legislation, that then led to an amendment to the Constitution, that then led to fill in the blank. And so if we are seeking to have conversations and to engage in our society and in our culture, then we will see those changes happening. I'm afraid what we have found, though, over time, is more hope has been put in to Washington. More hope has been put into fallen, broken men than the truths of the Scripture. And so what has happened, a friend of mine, Chuck Hooten, wrote a blog about this a few weeks ago. Even in this election, and in every election, what do we see? We see a reflection of the people. The reason why we used to have men like George Washington was because at that time there was the Great Awakening. The people were, saw things with a biblical worldview. So what they do, they produced a leader, a flawed leader. Even George Washington had flaws, but they produced a leader that reflected them. The White House reflects the people. It's not the other way around. And so that's where we're at as a society and as a culture. We see a ton of brokenness. We see greed. We see selfishness. We see win at all cost. We see acceptance no matter what, even if that acceptance goes against my convictions. So when we see those things, then don't be surprised what we get come election time. And what I'm saying is, if we want to see the life issue changed, if we want to see more people standing on the side of life, I was just reading an article during the break of Washington, D.C. They just voted locally to allow doctor-assisted suicide. Why is that? Why is that? Because it's a do whatever makes you feel good, do whatever makes you happy mindset. And folks, that's a damning, one of the most damning mindsets out there. Because as we've said time and time again, if you devalue life in the womb via abortion, and you devalue life via doctor-assisted suicide, then you have devalued life across the board. So then when we do these things, when we celebrate death and a culture of death, when we do that, as I've said on here time and time again, don't be surprised that the murder rate goes up. Don't be surprised that a crazy whack job walks in somewhere and shoots people. Because we've been showing as a society and as a culture that life doesn't have value. Now, you can blame this on legislation. You can blame this on the people in Washington or the people at your state capitol. But this blame is on us. Why? Because all we care about is winning a debate or convincing somebody in some shape, form, or fashion. Instead of saying, okay, even the person that disagrees with me is an image bearer. And so I'm going to see them as that. I'm going to treat them as that. And then I'm going to start having relationships. I'm going to seek community with people. And in those relationships, I'm going to be able to have conversations. And I'll see some of my flaws. We'll see some of their flaws. And I'll show them that my biblical worldview, my mindset, isn't just about winning. It isn't based in hate. It isn't based in bitterness. It isn't based and rooted in simply the desire to win. But instead, our thought process would be one that is rooted in truth. Rooted in truth that says, each of us were knitted together with a purpose. With a purpose. Knitted together by whom? By the Creator. So again, what's that do? That allows us, that forces us to look at something beyond ourselves. You see, the abortion lobby, the focus is self. Self-preservation. This is inconvenient. I can't achieve my dreams. How could you do this to me? Notice the commonality there? Me, me, me. But it's not just the abortion lobby with that thought process. When there's pro-lifers that stand up and don't show grace and don't show mercy and are hateful and are bitter, then you're no better. We're no better. When we attack flippantly those that stand in opposition to us, when we prove that they don't have value, when we say that they don't have value, then folks, we're no better than them. This isn't easy. And no one said it was going to be. But if we are going to be a people that says life has value, and we are pro-life, then we must look at people that disagree with us and say, you have value. And I would fight for your life. I mean, those are things that we have to grasp. At the worship night the other night, my role in one of the prayer topics was to pray for the CEO of the largest abortion clinic in the country. And before I could pray for it, I had to repent. Why? Because of the bitterness and hate in my heart. For not seeing her as a valuable human created by God. Even if she doesn't herself see herself as an image bearer, that doesn't change the fact that she is one. So when I look and I see her as a prop, when I see her as simply an obstacle in the way of my agenda, when I see her as that, then I've already lost. But when I look and I see an image bearer, even though an image bearer that I disagree with on pretty much every issue, but that doesn't change the fact that God created her. So So I had to repent before I could pray for her. So folks, believe me, I know it's not easy. But we will never see the life issue move the way it needs to move. And we will never see the life movement go where it needs to go if we simply are focused on winning a debate. It's just not going to work. It's not going to work. And what we see across the board is so many on both sides. That's their focus. And when that's your focus, hearts aren't being transformed. Minds aren't being changed. And so as we engage, don't forget where our engagement is rooted. It has to be rooted in the Word. I am pro-life because of who creates life, not just because it's a good idea. Right? So that is where we find our purpose. And then we move from there. And then we have conversations. Then we have discussions. Sometimes heated, and that's okay. But again, not in bitterness. Not in hatefulness, but in love, because if we're going to be a pro-life people, well, then we have to celebrate life. We'll be back in a sec.
And I love my father. A father loves me. I dance for my father.
And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you for listening today. If you were not able to catch the whole show, I will have it up on podcast tomorrow, investinghope.com. It'll also be on iTunes, so you can get it in a number of different places. You can also listen online now at wrjz.com. So all plenty of opportunities to listen, and we, again, certainly thank you for doing that. So today's theme was, is our goal simply to win an argument, or is it to truly see hearts transformed? And I know that, you know, some people would even say, well, what's the difference? Winning is hearts being transformed. Well, okay, well, if that's your definition of winning, then yes. But if it's just to show that you know more, or just to show that you are a good salesman, or someone that is just good at debates, then that's where the problem comes in. And so, yes, in terms of elections and voting for people, that's win or lose. But in terms of our relationships, what is the goal? Because guess what, folks? When all of this election stuff is over, and praise the Lord, it's going to be over next week. On November 9th, sun's still going to rise. Right? So regardless of who is going to be inaugurated in January, on November 9th, the sun's still going to rise. You're still going to go to work. You're still going to wake up. You're still going to do all of those things, Lord willing. So what happens then? So when all the dust settles and you get back on social media, you get back onto Facebook, you get back onto Twitter, and you're hearing all the, ha-ha, we won, or ha, I told you so, or fill in the blank. So then what, right? Because we're not the ones that are going to the Oval Office. We got to go to work the next day. We got to get ready to spend Thanksgiving with our family. We're getting ready for Christmas. Our kids are going back to school. We're going back to church. And there's going to be a lot of cleanup. There's been a ton of relationships damaged because our focus was simply on winning and not loving. Republicans mad at Republicans, Democrats mad at Democrats. Why? Because we've lost sight of what really matters. I'm not telling you to disengage. I'm not telling you not to vote. I'm just saying, what happens on November 9th? Are we prepared to step out in love? Are we prepared to see people as image bearers? Are we prepared to take up the life issue and continue to move forward? Not rooted in bitterness, but rooted in love, rooted in the gospel. To point people to things that are greater than ourselves, that are greater than the White House, that are greater than monuments. But to point people to the Creator of life. So that's why at some point when we are having these conversations and discussions, it isn't about simply winning. It has to be more than that. And so as you pick up the banner of life, the issue of life, and move forward, please, I'm begging you, let it be rooted in the gospel. Let it be rooted in love. And I'll just be completely frank and honest with you. If it isn't, then just don't talk about the issue, because that's just going to take us backwards. So as we move forward and as we are pro-life and as we see life celebrated all across this country, let us be the ones that are bringing light into very dark places. Let us be ones that are celebrating life. And that are doing that in love. Because, folks, that is who we are. We'll be back next week. Going to have Joe Baker on from Save the Stork. Should be a good show. Also Election Day. So who knows what we may talk about. Stay tuned. Talk to you soon.